Thank you, Jeremy and Candace. That was beautiful. Junior choir, thank you. I wish that, don't you wish that we as the adults would stand and praise the Lord without the kids having to tell us to? Very sobering thought. We love you. We appreciate you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, turn to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 3, and Romans, chapter number 3. St. John, chapter number 3, Romans, chapter number 3. If you would, say a prayer for my throat. I feel like the Lord's give us a word this morning. I feel like the devil's going to do everything he can to prevent it from going out. But I'm greater. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. I believe that the Lord can and will prevail. We want to do our best to preach that the Lord has laid on our heart this morning. And I'm reading out of the third chapter. The text we're going to take is really out of the third chapter of Romans. But I feel that we ought to read this portion of Scripture in the third chapter of John. I believe it applies, and we'll probably mention it. If anything, I would ask that you go home this afternoon and study it out, because today is the Lord's Day. Amen? Amen. St. John, chapter number 3, verse number 13. I'm going to read three verses, and verse 13, the Scripture reads, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Did you understand that? "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So he that come down from heaven must yet be lifted up again, is what the Scripture says. "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever," listen to this, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Preacher, I've heard that all my life. I'm glad that you have. I honestly am. In the third chapter of the book of Romans, in verse number 21, we're going to read several verses. Stay with us. Third chapter of Romans, verse number 21, the word reads, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Listen to verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace." It's not by our grace. Titus 3 and 5, the Bible says, "Not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing, renewing, regenerating of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." His grace. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So it's through his grace and his redemption through his Son. Amen. Listen, so many people today, we try to confuse the Word of God, but the Word of God is so simply written, and it's intended. I believe this. We need to read the Word of God in context for what it means to us. Amen. Listen, in verse 25, this is where our text is taken from. "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation." That's what we're going to preach on. Propitiation. "Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. I tell you what, listen, as we look at the word of God this morning, and you might say, "Preacher, you just preach hard stuff." No, I don't preach hard stuff. I believe this. You know, Paul spoke to us in the word of God. Listen, and he told us, he said, said, if it's not for the edification of the church, you know, there's so many preachers. They run around, they say, boy, I love to preach the deep stuff, the big stuff. And they come in to the house of God. They wow the people of God, and the people of God say, man, that was great. But they leave here and they're confused because they have no idea what he said. What good is that? What good is the word of God if we can't take it, if we can't eat it, and we can't apply it to our lives? Amen. The word of God has relevance. And I'm going to tell you something. I love the word of God. I want to preach you the word of God. I want to preach the word of God to your children that they could understand it in a way that they could be saved. Now the Bible says in verse 25, whom God has set forth, listen to this, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Amen. Now in 1 John 1:9, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 2:1, he said, my little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. Listen to this. I love this. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. So we say, preacher, what does the word propitiation mean? Listen, in the Hebrew word, it is the root word is hilomos or illustration. And listen, in literal English context, that means a place of mercy. Amen. So I want to preach to you for just a minute about the place of mercy. Amen. And you might say, preacher, you're running rabbits, but it has great relevance for the scripture that we're reading. And listen, the people of Paul's day, when he was writing to the Roman church, they understood what it was to have a place of mercy. Why? Because it takes us all the way back to the Old Testament, and the scripture teaches us, listen, that after the law of Moses came and the commandments came, they erected the temple. Listen, and the Bible tells us that God set apart the Levites, and the Levites were the priests of that day, and they were over the temple, over the sacrifices, and especially one thing, they were over the Day of Atonement. What happened on the Day of Atonement? The great high priest, the Bible says, would go in on the Day of Atonement. He would make a sacrifice for himself. He would make a sacrifice for the people. Where did he make the sacrifice? The Bible tells us that the tabernacle was constructed. It had four sides, the north, south, the east, the west. Listen, they went in at the eastern gate. When they went into the eastern gate, there laid the brazen lavar where they offered up the sacrifice. And listen, we'll not get into all that. That's a different message for a different time. But as we make our entrance into what the Bible tells us is the holy place, we have, listen, the menorah, the candlesticks, the table of shewbread. Listen, and this was attended by the altar, and we have the altar in there as well. This was attended by the priest, but then the Bible says that there was a veil. And now you just stay with us, right, because we're going to tie this big old knot this morning, God being our helper, and I want to, amen. We see where we get into the holy place of God, then there's a veil. Nobody had ever seen behind the veil, but the high priest, because if anybody went in behind the most holy place, if they went behind the veil, God killed them. But we know from the scripture, behind the veil, the Bible teaches us that there sat the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? There were three items contained in the Ark of the Covenant. And as we see the Ark of the Covenant, where there were three items contained therein above the Ark, the Bible said that there was a mercy seat. Amen. Ain't you glad this morning that God, in His foreknowledge and in His love, has always had a place of mercy, and the place of mercy was not for Him, but the place of mercy is for us. Amen.
So now listen, we have the Ark of the Covenant. Above the Ark of the Covenant, we have the mercy seat. The Bible says on the mercy seat, there was a cherub on one end, a cherub on the other end. They had wings that overshadowed, their wingtips touched. Listen, as the presence of God in the high priest would enter in on the Day of Atonement, he would make a sacrificial offering upon the mercy seat. And if God received the sacrifice, the Bible says that he would fill that place with his Shekinah glory. Amen. A smoke would descend upon that place. And listen, all the people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that's the one thing they had their eyes fixed on was the temple and the tabernacle, because they wanted to see the glory of God. Because if they seen with their eyes, they knew that God had, listen, appeased his wrath for yet another year. They knew their sins had been covered. See, the place of mercy was not for God. The place of mercy is for us. I want you to never forget, listen, that now the Bible tells us this now that we have a clear understanding of what the place of mercy is, which is what the scripture is speaking. Now, let's read this in context. Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation. Amen. So what is he saying? God has sent forth his son to be the place of mercy. Amen. Listen, so many people in this world, they're seeking refuge and they're trying to find peace. Listen, in all matter of things, listen, and we're not going to preach on every kind of sin that there is. You know what people try and find pleasure in. Amen. I don't want people to leave here and say that preacher, all he does is preach on sin. And I say this. A lot of people say, preacher, I don't want you to scare my children. I'm going to tell you what, I love your children enough to tell them the truth. And if the truth scares your children, so be it. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. The day I got saved, I was pretty scared. Amen. I'm glad that salvation, listen, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for it's a fearful thing to the fall into the hands of a living God. Friends, listen to me this morning. But now I want to jump with us, if you would. Now we have, and I'm going to back up. My mind's running rabbits this morning. Amen. You pray for us. We're going to do the best we can. It says, but now the righteousness of God, backing up verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law was manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and upon all them believe, for there is no difference. Amen. Now I want to preach on the difference here for just a few minutes. Amen. Especially in this day and time we live in, there's so many people, they try and categorize people. They try and say, well, that the Jews are this, the Gentiles are this, over and above the Jews and the Gentiles. We say, well, if they come into our church and if they don't meet our certain criteria and if they don't dress like we do, then we don't want them. Say amen, because that's the truth. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. Listen, I'm glad that we have a Savior who died for it. The Bible said in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ then died for the ungodly. He don't love us. He didn't die for us because we're pretty and because of our righteousness. He died for us because we were abominable in the sight of God, and our righteousness was as filthy rags. And he said, I'll love them in their sin so we can reunite them through the ministry of reconciliation back to God the Father. Friends, listen to me this morning. I'm glad that we have a Savior. I always love to preach on the woman who was taken in the act of adultery. Amen. First off, because it draws everybody up in knots. You're not supposed to preach on that stuff. I'll tell you, like I've been saying for years, if you teach your children at home, I wouldn't have to preach it from the pulpit. Amen? There ain't no sense in that, preacher. Well, teach your children about sin. There was a woman taken in the very act of adultery. You can read between the lines. We try and candy coat and smooth things over. But the Word of God says this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. She was brought out from this adulterous act. She was cast at the feet of Jesus. And listen, those who caught her looked to Jesus and said, "Now the law commands that this woman be stoned and killed." And Jesus, the Bible says that he looked at them and he knelt down and began to draw in the sand. And the scripture says that he stood up after he'd been drawing in the sand, and he stood up in the midst of them, and he said, "He that hath no sin, cast the first stone." And he knelt back down and began drawing in the sand. There's a lot of people say, there's a lot of speculation. You might say, "Preacher, you don't know yourself," and I don't for an absolute gospel fact, but I believe this is what Jesus done. I believe he knelt down from the youngest to the oldest, and whatever sin they were in, I believe he wrote it at their feet in the sand. And as he began to write, he looked to him and he said, "He that hath no sin, cast the first stone." And listen, he knelt back down. He began to draw yet again once at their feet. And the Bible says they began chunking their stones. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says, and they departed from the eldest to the youngest. You know why the older people left first? Because he hadn't got to their feet yet. It's my sin. We're going to pet it and take care of it. Keep it right here. Keep it close to the vest. We don't want nobody to know about it. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends. Listen, we as Christians today, we need to understand that, I don't care what you're doing. Amen. It drives me absolutely insane. Some people, they'll come by the shop or they'll see us out and they'll say, "Whoa, we better change what we're saying, better change what we're doing. We can't tell that joke because the preacher's around." I told them every time, "Don't you worry about if I'm around or not, but God's here all the time." Amen. We can't escape the presence of an omnipresent, omnipowerful, omnipotent God. Amen. He knows all things. He's always present. And friends, listen to me. He is all-knowing. He lives. He surrounds. He consumes us. So friends, listen to me today. If you think that you've got yourself hid in your sin, I want you to think about one thing. I want you to look up and look who's looking down. It's time to rectify things. Amen. Because God knows. Listen, the Bible tells us this. He said in Acts 4:12, he said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." Listen to this. "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents." The thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. Listen, the Lord knows why you're here this morning. The Lord knows why I'm preaching this message this morning. The Lord knows your thoughts. The Lord knows your intentions. The Lord knows why you're here. And the Lord knows what you're doing. Amen. Friends, listen to me. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you understand the relevance of this scripture? All have sinned. A-double-L. Amen. Listen, he didn't leave one of us out. You've heard, I believe I quoted this, the Sunday night service we have, but in Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says, John said, "I looked and seen him that sat upon the throne, and he that sat upon the throne had," "he had in his right hand a seal, sealed within with on the backside, sealed with seven seals." And the Bible said, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof?" And the Bible says, "Heaven was searched, the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched, but there was none found worthy." Amen. Why was there none found worthy? Because we are all sinners. The Bible says heaven, the earth, and beneath the earth was searched. Listen, there was none found worthy. John said, and I began to weep much because there was none found worthy. Amen. And the Bible said, and the angel laid his right hand upon me, said, John, fear not. He said, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the offspring of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And the Bible said, and I, John, stood and looked in the midst of the throne and the 12 beasts and the 24 elders. Now see, a lamb as it had been slain before the foundation of the world. He seen Jesus. People quit looking for something else because he is all we need. I love to read. I love to study. But if you need help, read the Word of God. If you want joy, you'll find it in the Word of God. Amen. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I believe in being honest, and I'm not bragging on the devil, but I'm giving glory to God. Amen. I've tried to find peace in a bottle, and I didn't find it, Roger. But I'm glad. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, and I want to say this. Amen. There's a lot of people, they say, well, the Lord was good to us. Amen. On Sunday morning. But I'm glad that my God, some of the best times I've ever had with the Lord when it was just me and Him. Amen. Everybody can have a big time with somebody, but when you're alone in the middle of the night, amen, in the darkness and the blackness, and the voice from heaven descends, and you get to commune with your Savior, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that His presence and His holiness and His glory is greater than anything this world could ever supply. That's when you know you're saved. He's just not the God of Sunday morning, but He's the God of Wednesday night at 2:00 in the morning. Amen. He's God everywhere, every day, all the time. David said, He's a very present help in the time of need. We all have sinned. All have sinned. We need to recognize our place. There's a lot of people say, preacher, listen, and they run around, they say this. They say, well, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. One of these days, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, when that day comes, I'll no longer be a sinner, but then will I embrace my position as a saint. But until then, I'm just a sinner, merely saved by His amazing grace. Recognize your place within the house of God. Amen. Well, preacher, they'll never make it without me. Get out of the way and watch what God does. Let me tell you something. We often say, well, and people say this, they say, well, Moses parted the Red Sea when he stuck his rod into the Red Sea. He didn't stick his rod in nothing. Listen, God told Moses, He said, stretch forth your rod over the sea. Hey man, listen, when you do something and you do it in faith, that's when the presence of God shows up. Amen. Listen, you say, well, what is likened unto that? Listen, the Bible said in the 3rd chapter of the book of John, He said, the Spirit is like the wind. We know not where it comes from and whither it goeth. The Bible says there was a strong east wind as Moses stretched forth his rod. There was a strong east wind began to blow all night long. And the children of Israel went across on dry ground. Not muddy ground, dry ground. Friends, listen to me this morning. It's not by our righteousness, it's by His. And we're going to try and get that preached in just a minute. Listen, It says, but being justified, listen to this. Now, this is the verse following 23. Being justified freely by His grace. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. Not by works. Not by works, but it's His gift to us. Amen. Listen. And if we look back in the book of Numbers, and that's why we read the third chapter of the book of John. We pull from there. John told us, he said, listen, he said that he was in heaven. He came down from heaven because he was sent from heaven. And the Bible says, if we lift him up and we look to him, the Bible tells us if we look to him that we will be saved. He said, as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. What he was referring to is this. You say, boy, preacher, you preach a long time. I can see it on your face. Amen. Say amen, because I know I do. But I tell you what, I don't care if you bring sack lunch next Sunday. If you want to eat a snack during singing, that'll be okay. Because the Word of God is important. I love ball as much as anybody. Amen. I coach basketball. I coach baseball. I spend as much time as I can with my children. But I'm going to tell you what, there's one thing that's way more important than anything that we could ever provide outside of the church, and that's this right here, the precious Word of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. As the Word of God, the Bible tells us this. Amen. I'm running another rabbit here, and the Bible says in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. The Bible says that Peter and the disciples and Jesus, they were on a hillside one day. The Bible said he spoke a hard saying. Many of the people which heard it left. Amen. And Jesus looked to Peter and he said, Peter, dost thou go away also? Peter, well, listen, he said, Lord, to whom else would we go? For thou hast the words of life. I've tried everything there is to try. I'm going to tell you something. There's never been anything more better, more precious, or more profound than the Word of God. Being justified freely by His grace. His grace. It's not our grace. It's His. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And I can't even get started on redemption. It's a whole other message. But basically the word redemption means this. To bring back together what was once broken. So by His grace, He has redeemed us in Christ Jesus. Do you look at this word and do you look at this passage and do you find anywhere where you can put yourself in this scripture? Everybody gets a case of the do-betters every once in a while. Amen. You know what I'd like to see in the church house? I don't want to see everybody get a case of the do-betters. I want everybody to get a case of the can't help it. Amen. Hey, I've always and I forever say this. Amen. Listen, if you feel like shouting, just be quiet. But if you can't help it, let it ride. Amen. We need a case of the can't help it. Amen. Listen, when we get the can't help it is when we start loving everybody. And when we get the can't help it is when we see little children. Glory, we see these little children that are lost. They can't even make it to the altar because conviction. Listen, I love the days of revival that I've seen with these eyes where they just literally fell between the benches because they just couldn't get to the altar. If you'll love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Put aside, you know, the Bible tells us this. He said, put aside every sin and the weight which does so easily beset us. Now, I want to look to you while I'm on that, and I promise I'll be done in just a minute. Everybody's got a besetting sin. Amen. Look at me for just a minute. You say, preacher, I can make it through anything. You're just lying. You're lying. There is one thing that will make you fall in an instant. Amen? Now I'm talking to you. There's that one thing that the devil plucks at your heart and plucks at your mind that could destroy it all in one day. That's why Paul said, I crucify the flesh daily. You see, serving Christ is a choice. I chose this morning to get up and pray. I chose to get my children ready. I chose to help my wife get our children ready. Listen, she chose to be here. I chose to be here this morning. I could have walked away from it all. You could too. Whoa, preacher. We need to think. One choice will change the course of life forever. Don't take five. Don't take ten. It takes one. One. That's why he said, pray without ceasing. Pray fervently. And pray with intention. Because we need the direction of the Holy Ghost daily. You say, preacher, you make it sound like we could just fall at any instant. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is, listen, if you give way and give power over to the temptations that consume and constantly flutter our minds, one of these days you'll be so enticed by these temptations that you'll consume that temptation. And then what you've consumed, then it comes sin. And the Bible said the end of sin is death. Be careful every day of your life. Go pray it. Go with the sword of the Lord held high. Go armed with the Word of God because it's precious. Listen, I'm gonna wind up and be done. It says, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now, I want to show you one thing in the New Testament that bears forth the propitiation. You heard me just a minute ago talk about, in the Old Testament days, the mercy seat. It sat upon the Ark of the Covenant, and it had two angels, two cherubs, one at the head, one at the foot. Now, I want to recall your memory to the 20th chapter of John. When Peter went to the tomb, and when he got to the tomb, look at me now, amen. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm almost done. Please let you go home. And when they got to the tomb, listen, the Bible says that the tomb was empty, and there was an angel that was sitting on the rock. And he looked at Peter and he said, why seekest thou the living among the dead? And Peter walked into the tomb, and I want you to see this beautiful picture of the place of mercy. And the Bible says when he walked into the tomb, there was an angel sitting one at the head and one at the foot. Amen. But what the Bible says is one at the head, one at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. Amen. Had lain. Those are past tense. I'm not an English major, but that means glory to God. He wasn't there. Why? Because the offering had been received. And they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? The place of mercy is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Ain't you glad that He is our place of mercy? And if we just look to Him, we can have life everlasting. Stand to your feet this morning. Y'all come to the piano with a song. I don't know your heart this morning.
I don't know your intention. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I don't know if you're lost today. Why don't you come? You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts. If you're feeling the knocking and the drawing power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, I want to say this. The Bible says that the devils believed. They believe. They know that there's a Lord. You know, there's a difference between having faith. I believe there's a lot of people today, they say, I've got faith in the Lord, but I don't believe they're saved. Because they don't have saving faith. Amen. You've got to have saving faith to be saved. And because of an 8-year-old boy and I had saving faith, I'm glad one of these days I'm going to have dying grace. Amen. So listen, what is your heart's intention here this morning? God knows. I don't have to know. Your mama, your daddy, the deacons, the preacher, they don't nobody have to know. But the Lord knows your heart this morning. What are you hiding behind? God can see it all. What's your number? I thought about the old preachers this morning. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know if they done it around here or not, but the old preachers, they used to go from bench to bench, and they'd look down the bench and say, everybody on the bench, okay. They go to the next one, they say, everybody on the bench, okay. Everybody on this bench, okay. Do we still have the same concern and the same love for everybody around us? You know, we're so consumed with everything that's going on in this world. Usually by the end of services, when we get our minds and in our hearts in a shape where we can really worship the Lord. You know, saved people, if you want to enjoy your salvation, you know, these are all voodoo terms in the Baptist church, and I don't know why, because they're all biblical terms, but listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to experience the joy of your salvation, you've got to worship Him. Amen. Worship Him. Praise Him. Let Him, listen, He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the slain Lamb and soon coming, risen again King. And we need to worship Him for who He is. Because He said, if I and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men nigh unto Me. Lift Him up to where He belongs. Worship Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. Listen, have you ever thought about coming to the Lord and not saying, Lord, I need, and I want, and I want, and I want. But have you ever thought just going to the Lord and saying, thank you. For just thank you for everything. You ever thought about just thanking Him and praising Him while we sing one more verse? I don't know your heart.